Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she had lived alone for years without ever feeling uneasy in her own house. Then one night, shortly after 2 in the morning, three clear knocks woke her from a sound sleep.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That, indeed it is, and it's 4802. I found an error in our intro that I said, throw that up, and let's try that video, which was fun. If you're watching us on YouTube,
looks
you saw a video, like a full motion video version of that. It was an animated one, and we'll still use them both, but I got to correct that phone number in there. But I just put that together. But yes, welcome to the program, everybody. We'd love to hear your ghost story at 855-853-4802. Or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or if you're watching us on the YouTube, and I know a lot of you are discovering us now on YouTube, welcome. We're glad you are here, and we welcome your ghost stories in the comments section of any video, and let us know what you think about the ghost stories that you're hearing. There's no right or wrong answer to anything that we're talking about here, unless, of course, you're disagreeing with me. Then you're wrong. But... No, but we'd love for you to comment and let us know your thoughts there and share your ghost stories on YouTube. Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's edition of the program. Hello.
How's
everyone doing?
Doing pretty good today. I kind of, the way I said that felt like that skit on Saturday Night Live. We're going to talk about the sweaty balls.
Yeah. Or you're Terry Gross and this is fresh air.
Fresh air.
Is fresh air still a thing? Is that?
I believe it is.
It is.
I do. We don't have it on my local public radio station, but I think other places do.
It's like podcasting before podcasting is what
You know what?
Exactly
you're
what
absolutely right. Yeah, it was ASMR before there was ASMR.
Yeah.
Because you listened to Terry Gross.
Yep.
And that was a
podcast.
What is ASMR? Can I ask for the not-so-smart?
You don't want to know.
I can look up exactly what it stands for, but it's basically people get into listening to things that get into their head. Autonomous sensory meridian response, relaxing static like tingling that starts at the top of the head and moves through your body when you hear something. Auditory.
And Terry Gross does that for you?
Yes.
It sounds like something we really don't want to dig into any deeper.
If you watch a lot of if you watch a lot of reels and stuff, people talk really low into their microphones and stuff. Uh-huh. And that actually gets them more watches and listens.
Like no right shit.
Now. No shit.
Like the sweaty balls.
Yes.
So people, if I talk more like this a lot, this feels kind of creepy, actually.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know that I like it.
I'll do an experiment. I will do a series of ghost stories where I'm just talking like this. Maybe I'll do this ghost story.
I bet people will get into it.
You think?
People like how I read the stories now, though. That's the thing. That's like, it's part of our thing. But I don't know.
I gotta tell you, Tony. I think you do a good job reading stories. I think I'm very average reader. And so I always feel like when I'm reading a story, Tony would read this so much. But I go ahead and I read them anyway. And if people want to complain, that's fine.
Well, you got to start reading it more like Terry Gross, I guess.
Okay. I'll try to do that.
She lived alone for almost 3 years by the time it happened. And she had never really been nervous about it.
See, I would make myself start laughing.
Listen
to me being all serious and shit.
If I was doing like an audiobook or something and it, you know, that you're kind of trying to set it, the scene, and you're doing it as a voiceover artist, I could do it that way. It's just, it's not like how I read a story on the show, though. So that's, but maybe people will like that. Maybe I should do that more. Maybe, I don't know.
We could do an A-B test.
An A-B test. I'll,
Well, I learned something new today.
I'll do, yeah, you know, we could do that. That'd be interesting. That would be interesting. But, oh, let's give it a shot. Let me give you a different artistic take on it. A different artisanal take. This is like when you're going to get something really, really fancy at the Subway, like a chicken salad or something, or, you know, where it's like, you're not just going for meat and cheese. You're going for the mixture with the mayo and whatever else is in there that you can't quite identify. And it might be chicken or maybe, I don't know what else could possibly be. Sometimes it might be tuna or chicken or both, or I don't know, the alley cat that used to live nearby.
It's not the typical Subway sub bread. You're getting the rosemary Asiago cheese bread.
The Rosemary's Baby Asiago cheese bread.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
With that's evil right. Baked into every bite. New at Subway. You're listening to Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. All right, let's do a ghost story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. She had lived alone for almost 3 years by the time it happened. She had never really been nervous about it. Her house was small, just two bedrooms on a quiet residential street where most of the neighbors had lived for years. It wasn't isolated, but by 10 at night, traffic usually disappeared. Porch lights went out by 1, and the neighborhood settled into the kind of silence she had grown used to. She liked living alone. She locked her doors at night, kept a security camera aimed at the front porch, and didn't spend much time worrying about what might happen. That changed one night in late fall. She'd gone to bed a little after 11 and fallen asleep quickly. Sometime later, she woke suddenly and lay there for a few seconds trying to figure out what had pulled her out of sleep. Then she heard 3 knocks at the front door. They weren't especially loud. Nobody was pounding or rattling a handle. It was simply 3 clear, evenly spaced knocks, the kind you might expect to hear in the middle of the afternoon when someone stopped by. She checked the clock beside her bed. It was a little after 2 in the morning. For a moment, she wondered if she'd dreamed it. Nobody she knew would show up at her house at that hour without calling first. And if there had been some kind of emergency, she assumed her phone would have been ringing. The house stayed quiet for another minute or two, and she was beginning to settle back down when she heard them again. 3 knocks. Now she was completely awake. She sat up and checked her phone for missed calls or messages. There was none. Before she could decide what to do, she heard something downstairs that made the situation even stranger. There were voices outside. She couldn't understand what they were saying from her bedroom, but after listening for several seconds, she realized they sounded young. They sounded like children. Until then, she had assumed whoever was outside had the wrong house or was playing some kind of prank, but children standing outside at 2 in the morning was different. If there really were kids out there, something might actually be wrong. She got out of bed and moved quietly into the hallway, then started downstairs without turning on the lights. She couldn't have said exactly why she was being so careful, but she didn't want whoever was outside to know where she was. By the time she reached the bottom of the stairs, she could hear the voices a little more clearly. There were definitely 2 of them, although she still couldn't make out most of what they were saying through the front door. They were speaking softly to each other, almost as though they were simply waiting. Then came 3 more knocks. From downstairs, they sounded much louder. Immediately afterward, one of the children asked if they could come inside. Years later, when she tried to describe what happened next, that was the part she had the hardest time explaining. Nothing had happened that should have terrified her. Two children were supposedly outside her home in the middle of the night, and common sense should have told her that they might need help. Instead, every instinct she had told her not to open the door. It wasn't ordinary nervousness or simple reasonable caution. The feeling was stronger than that, almost physical, like her body understood there was danger before her mind had caught up. Do not open the door. She didn't answer them. Instead, she moved towards the window beside the living room and carefully pulled back the edge of the curtain just enough to see the porch. There were two children standing outside. One was a little taller than the other, and she guessed they were somewhere around 10 or 12 years old. They stood close together near the front door with their heads angled slightly downward. There was nothing obviously strange about them. They didn't appear injured. They weren't crying, and nothing about their clothing immediately stood out to her. In some ways, that made the situation even more unsettling. Two children who were lost or frightened should have looked frightened. These two simply stood there, waiting. She let the curtain fall back into place and picked up the phone. When she called 911, she felt almost embarrassed. Explaining the situation, she told the dispatcher that two children were standing on her porch asking to come inside and that she didn't know who they were or why they were there. The dispatcher asked whether she recognized them or whether either child seemed hurt. She said no to both questions, then admitted she hadn't opened the door because something about the situation felt wrong. The dispatcher told her to stay inside and said officers were on the way. While she remained on the phone, she could still hear the children talking quietly outside. Most of their conversation was too muffled to understand, but at one point, one of them spoke loudly enough that she heard the words clearly. We know you're in there. That bothered her more than anything they had said before. She had kept the lights off and had barely moved near the window, yet there was such calm certainty in the child's voice that she felt even more strongly she had done the right thing by keeping the door locked. She looked through the curtain once more. The children were still standing exactly where she had seen them before. They weren't pacing, waving, or doing anything she would have expected from kids standing outside a stranger's house in the middle of the night. Then the voices stopped. She waited another minute before looking outside again. The porch was empty. She told the dispatcher the children were gone, and several minutes later, a patrol car pulled up in front of the house. She didn't open the door until she saw an officer standing outside. The officers checked around the house and drove slowly through the surrounding streets, looking for anyone who matched the description, but they found nothing. One suggested the children might have been playing some kind of prank and had run when they realized the police were coming. She wanted to believe that. After the officers left, she locked the door again and checked every window before going upstairs, but she never went back to sleep. Every time she started to relax, she found herself listening for another set of three knocks. By morning, the whole experience already felt strangely unreal. The sun was up, people were driving to work, and the idea of two children standing silently on her porch in the middle of the night seemed almost impossible. Then she remembered the security camera. She had installed it the year before after a package disappeared from her porch. The camera covered the front steps and part of the walkway leading towards the street. If two children had stood outside her front door for several minutes, it should have recorded them. She opened the app on her phone and pulled up the footage from overnight. The porch was empty. At first, she assumed she had the wrong time, so she moved backward several minutes and watched again. Nothing happened. She moved forward and checked the timestamp carefully. Still, nothing. She watched through the time when she remembered hearing the first three knocks, then the second set, and finally the third. Nobody appeared. No children walked up the sidewalk. Nobody stood near the front door. Nobody left. When she turned up the volume, there were no knocks on the recording and no voices either. For several minutes, she sat there trying to understand what that meant. Maybe the camera had malfunctioned. Maybe something had gone wrong with the recording during that particular stretch of time. The headlights appeared at the edge of the picture. The patrol car pulled into view exactly when she remembered it arriving. And a few moments later, she watched an officer walk across the same porch where she distinctly remembered seeing the children standing. The camera recorded the police without a problem. She went back and watched the earlier footage again. Empty porch, empty walkway, and the officers arriving to investigate a report about two children who, according to the camera, had never been there. That was when she started wondering whether she could have dreamed part of it. She'd been asleep when the first knocking woke her, and she knew people could have incredibly vivid dreams in that strange space between sleeping and waking. Maybe she had somehow imagined the knocking, the voices, and even the sight of the children. But that explanation only worked until she looked at her phone. Her call history showed the 911 call exactly where it had should have been. She remembered standing downstairs talking to the dispatcher, answering questions about the children, and explaining why she was afraid to open the door. The police had actually come because of that conversation. So where did the dream and reality begin? She never found an answer. She asked a few neighbors whether they had seen children wandering around that night, but nobody had, and she'd never heard about anything similar happening in the area. She continued living in the house for another couple of years without another strange incident. There were no more voices outside, no more children on the porch, and no more sets of three knocks in the middle of the night. Even now, though, she still wonders what happened. Were there really two children standing outside her house, or had she somehow imagined them so vividly that she had called 911 because of it? If they weren't there, why had everything felt so real? And if they were there, why didn't the camera see them? She also wonders why it happened to her at all. There was nothing unusual about the house before that night, and nothing unusual afterward. What she remembers most clearly is the feeling that came over her when they asked to come inside before she had any real reason to be afraid. Even in every instinct, she had told her not to open the door. She listened to that instinct, and sometimes she still wonders what might have happened if she hadn't. She also wonders whether someday she might hear those three knocks again. If she does, she already knows one thing. She won't open the door.
Mm-mm. No way would I open the door.
Heck no. Not yeah. After listening to our podcast all these years, I would never open the door.
What do you guys think? No. Are black-eyed kids paranormal or extraterrestrial? Extraterrestrial. You know what I'm trying to say.
Extraterrestrial?
Thank you. Are they aliens? Or are they paranormal?
I think you could look at aliens and all that stuff as paranormal because it's not normal to us. So it falls into that category anyway, but I think it could be both.
Is it of the space or is it of the down under? I don't know.
I kind of think they're alien.
Yeah.
And they're like, but they could also be like some sort of entity feeding off your fear. I've read that theory about them as well. That
socially awkward aliens.
Mm-hmm, and then they try to feed off of your fear because that gives them energy. I read a book on them and I interviewed this girl and we were talking about black-eyed kids and like supposedly there's been some cases of people letting them in and they have gotten really sick after they let in black-eyed kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know how you prove those were black-eyed kids and I got sick from them.
Why didn't the camera pick it up? Like, if they're aliens, they're still there.
Right.
And maybe they've got some strange powers we don't know about. But why didn't the camera pick it up?
Or
maybe it was a dream.
Was it a dream? Was it all a dream?
But she called and the cops were there and she got the cops on the camera. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I believe she called. I mean, that happened. But was there a space before that where, I mean, I've had dreams where I wake up in the dream and I'm I'm believing I'm waking up from my dream in the dream. Mm-hmm. And then I continue on. And then it's like, and they're kind of like a fuck with you dream, because I've had it where it just keeps happening in the single dream, waking up several times. Like my mind said, ooh, wouldn't this be fun to fuck with him on this idea? And then eventually you really do wake up. But I could see that. I could see thinking you woke up, having this experience in your house, and then suddenly you're just kind of like, you're getting out of bed and you're like, what the, you know, just you're kind of mindlessly doing shit, but you're kind of like, if you're really kind of freaking out about something, sometimes it, you don't really, you realize you're in the next room, you know, because you're just kind of, your mind's going. I could see that kind of being a moment there, especially in the middle of the night when you're already kind of a bit confused. And yeah, you think this just happened to you, and then you call 911. You know, there's that state too in between, which is where a lot of people have sleep paralysis, where you're actually seeing shit. And it's basically a hallucination, but typically the rest of your body is not functioning. So if she was up there looking out the door and seeing that, that'd be more of a hallucination of some sort. But I don't know. I mean, weird shit can happen when the brain's tired and, you know, and stress, you know, I don't know. I could see there being a legit, she fully believes it's paranormal, but I could see a totally legit, not paranormal.
Well, Kathy and I were talking about, and you and I have talked about this before, Tony, where I had woken up from a sound sleep thinking a car had crashed into my house.
Yeah.
It was that loud, that insane. I called 911 and I was like, was there an explosion in my neighborhood? That's how real it was to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I called 911. And so, you know, I know you can have very vivid dreams.
Yeah.
But maybe it was some sort of weird ghostly apparition-y thing that didn't get picked up by the camera.
And the cops are like, hey, Larry, that weird podcaster chick called again. She thinks a car hit her house.
She's hearing shit.
Let's put a follow on her. See if she's off getting drugs in the afternoon or something, you know, because
I believe she is. Yeah. She must be high as a kite again.
She's all talking about ghosts. I mean, who the hell believes in ghosts?
Gobbledygook. thankfully, there's something you can do now about this. You know, ring doorbells have been, you know, quite a normal thing now, and a lot of people have claimed to have caught things on them that is paranormal. But that's typically where it's like showing up and you're catching it, and it's like, wow, it's showing itself in reality. There's a new ring doorbell that actually picks up the things that we can't see. And it also has some new protections with it. I think this is pretty exciting. This is the first time they're debuting the product. This is the new Ring doorbell.
You already trust Ring to protect your home from porch pirates, unexpected visitors, and the occasional raccoon at 2 a.m. But what about the things that were already there before you moved in? Introducing Ring Doorbell Beyond, the first smart doorbell with full-spectrum paranormal detection. Ring Doorbell Beyond uses advanced electromagnetic sensors and infrared spectral imaging to detect residual hauntings, shadow entities, interdimensional anomalies, and full-bodied apparitions inside and outside your home. Get real-time alerts straight to your phone. Paranormal entity detected. Front porch. Duration on property, 14 years. Entity predates current homeowner. Ring Beyond's historical presence mapping can identify entities that have been occupying your property long before you arrived, and in some cases, long before the house was built. But Ring Beyond doesn't just monitor your porch. With Ring Beyond interior sensors, you'll know exactly who or what is sharing your home. Like this alert from a family in Scottsdale. Entity detected. Location: daughter's bedroom. Duration in room: 8 months. Entity is not a registered household member. Their daughter had been talking to what they thought was an imaginary friend since spring. It wasn't imaginary. Ring Beyond knew, and Ring Beyond was ready. When Ring Beyond detects a level 5 or higher demonic presence, it automatically deploys a consecrated holy water mist from the built-in ring purification system. Blessed by clergy from 12 denominations and available in 3 settings: light cleanse, standard purification, and full exorcism. Full exorcism mode delivers a sustained high-pressure consecrated mist across all entry points simultaneously. In field testing, full exorcism mode resolved 94% of demonic occupations within 11 minutes. The remaining 6% required a second cycle and a blessing from a bishop. Entity neutralized. Your home is protected. Residual energy dissipating. Estimated full clearance. 72 hours.
We got the ring beyond after our daughter started talking to someone in her room at night. We thought it was a phase. Then we got the alert. 8 months. That thing had been in her room for 8 months, sitting in the corner by her bookshelf every night. Ring deployed the mist automatically. Full exorcism. By morning, the app said the entity was gone. Our daughter asked us the next day where her friend went. We told her he moved away. We sleep with the lights on now, but we sleep.
Ring Doorbell Beyond. Now your family is protected from more than just the living. Ring Doorbell Beyond. Starting at $299.99, requires Ring Protect Plus Afterlife Plan, $13.99 per month. Holy water refill cartridges sold separately, compatible with Ring Alarm, Ring cameras, and most major world religions. Full exorcism mode may cause temporary portal activity in basements and attics. Ring is not responsible for entities that have bonded with household members. If an entity has been in residence longer than the homeowner, Ring recommends relocation. Not available in homes built on burial grounds without prior site assessment. Ring, protection beyond the living.
I loved that so much. I love the full exorcism mode you can get with that.
Yeah.
And the refillable cartridges. You got to get the refillable cartridges too.
That's how they get you. You know, you think you're getting like full protection, and then it's like, holy shit, Beelzebub shows up and you're out of the mist. And then you're screwed. I mean, that's what you got to like have them on hand. They you know, do the subscription. They show up every month and.
Well, I like the part about if it has been there longer than you have, you must relocate.
They got to get all the disclaimers in. They really thought of everything. So yeah, there you go.
That's was awesome.
And by the way, that's not real, just in case anyone's reaching out to the Ring company and going, well, I heard it on the Ghost show.
I want one.
I do too. I think it's a great, I think they could market that. And I think it would sell well. But there you go. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff, Apple Podcasts, Patreon, search Real Ghost Stories Online. You'll find that extra stuff there. And be sure on YouTube, tell us your ghost story. Let us know your thoughts on the show in the comments section. We'll continue our conversation there. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.